Hi, this is Alana S. with the Anonymous Us podcast. I've got a few different stories for you today, and the first I'm going to read to you is from a parent. It's a mother of a donor egg child. When she writes, I read carefully many of the entries of this site, trying to understand how some donor children experience their conditions of conception and birth. These feelings serve me as an egg donor mother to think about how to tell my daughter her coming into the world. She is 2 years old now, but I started telling her as soon as she was born. I'm in favor of non-anonymous donation, and I truly regret I haven't had the chance to thank the donor woman that allowed my daughter and I to be together in this life. True, we do not share some of the genes, and in parentheses she says all human beings share 95% of our genes, actually. But the genes she inherited from the donor, and she says, sorry, not the biological mother, will determine partially her external appearance. Are family roots significant? Of course, including the genetic origins, but they are not the only relevant source for one's identities. Identities that are multiple, varied, and change over our life course. But family roots are also those related to your upbringing, so I hope I can transmit to her not to be overly obsessive about genetics. Now I have a story from a young woman who was conceived via donor egg. And she writes, there are many people who know me but don't know my real story, who I really am, who my other half is. I grew up with two wonderful parents. They separated when I was about 4. My dad, who is my biological dad, ended up getting custody of me when I was 10. My mother, I found out she wasn't my real mother a little earlier than I should have. I was probably 7, and I asked her, why don't I look like you? And then she told me the story. My parents wanted very much to have a kid, but my mother was too old to have kids at the time, so they decided on surrogacy. My biological mother donated her egg and wanted to stay anonymous. All we know about her is that her family is all healthy. She has 2 older sons, and she has blonde hair. And since my dad has black hair, I probably got that from her. Ever since I was told at age 7 that the mother who I always thought of as my own wasn't, and now that I think about it, we're nothing alike. There's another huge story that happened when I was 10, but I'm not going to go into detail. And let's just say that after I turned 11, my dad got sole custody of me. I wonder all the time who my biological mother is. What does she look like? What does she like to do in her free time? What does she do for a job? Does she even know I exist? Does she ever want to meet me? What would I say to her if I ever met her? There's just so many questions and no answers. Only my close friends know about this, and they too want to know these things. Sometimes when I walk down the street, I'll think, have I seen my biological mother today? Maybe I've already seen her, and I don't even know it. The worst thing about being this way is just not knowing. I just found out about this website, and I like it. I like knowing that there are kids out there just like me who don't know who their mother or father is. I feel like we all relate in a way. If I ever meet this wonderful woman who helped conceive me, I would have so many questions. I would also want to thank her so much for my wonderful and blessed life that I have because of her. I'm going to read two more stories. I've got one called The Gift of Family, and it's from a donor-conceived person who writes, "My father-in-law gave his children and grandchildren the most wonderful and meaningful gift this past Christmas. The story of his genealogical family from his mother's side and the beginning of his own autobiography ending when he met my husband's mother. Beautifully written, bound, and presented. He left it to his children and grandchildren to continue to write the story from their own perspective. Why does genealogy, mothers, fathers, grandparents, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, cousins, of all the shared DNA kind, matter? Because they ground, bind, and root us to people and history. Their stories matter. We build our stories from theirs and pass them on to our own children. I do not need to have blood ties to my husband's father's family genealogical history to call them family, but I am part of my children's genealogical history, and so too is my parents' donor, including the rich history of all the many people whose life both his and ours traveled through. The greatest gift I've been given from my donor conception experience is how precious family is. My parents' donor is my father. He matters. There really is no such thing as a donor in relation to his offspring." I'm going to end with a story from I believe, current sperm donor. And his title is called Proud, Loving Donor Daddy. At first he wrote in his name, but I removed that for our privacy policy. But he says, "My name is Dr. Blank. My story is that of a proud, loving donor daddy, and I would not change a thing nor hide any details. I've helped many couples conceive a baby they have always wanted. Some have been same-sex couples, while others have been male-female couples, and still others have been single. These wonderful people have come seeking assistance, and it has been an honor to help provide it to them. I never charge money to help donate, as I would want someone to help me out, too, if I ever needed it. The experiences I have had as a sperm donor have truly changed me as a person. Before I continue, please allow me to elucidate about myself. Certified as a teacher, principal, and superintendent, I currently work as an officer of the court, private investigator, and deception expert. I have worked on 2 master's degree programs and have completed my doctoral degree. If time permits, I may eventually teach part-time at a college or university, but right now there's no space in my schedule for it. I greatly enjoy my work and do not care if others know I am a sperm donor. Originally born in Oklahoma City in the United States of America, I have traveled to over 40 different countries and have lived in Estonia, India, Mexico, and China. I've also lived in Texas and Alaska, and I currently reside in Edmond, Oklahoma. The opportunity I've had to travel has broadened my horizons and has made me more open to the idea of donating sperm to singles and couples. Indeed, I first began donating back in 2009 while living in China. I always inform potential recipients that I have no sexually transmitted diseases, and I test regularly and show them the results, since I only donate via artificial insemination. That pretty much ensures that I do not get diseases or pass them on to others. This is especially important since I am happily married, which seems to also put recipients at ease. Of course, my wife knows about everything and supports my endeavor to help others too, and she is monogamous. It is also important that people to whom I donate know that I have no criminal history and am a vegetarian. I really take care of my health, as this is very important to me for many reasons. Health is indeed wealth, and it is important that I keep my body and thus sperm healthy. I take great care never to go into hot tubs. I don't drink or smoke. And it's also important that I keep myself healthy, as I have a wife, parents, siblings, and several kids of my own who rely upon me. Whenever I donate sperm to recipients, I do not discriminate against them because of their age, except in such cases where their chances of conceiving are very small or non-existent. I don't discriminate them based off of weight, sexual orientation, height, transgendered status, race, ethnicity, nationality, veteran status, marital status, political affiliations, religious beliefs, or lack thereof, etc. I have a live and let live policy, per se. And that seems to suit many people just fine. I do wish, however, that all recipients will raise their kids to be open-minded, loving individuals. I have always been open to being a known donor. I'm perfectly fine if any of the kids I help conceive contact me via Skype or email or regular mail, via Facebook, telephone, web camera, or in person. I believe that it's great if kids born from my sperm and the recipient's eggs know about me. Most recipients and I have agreed that the kids will know by at least the time they are 18. But all recipients seem to want something different. Some people I help want me to put my name on the birth certificate and to have the child and my kids contact each other at any time. Indeed, some of the people I have helped and I have grown so close that they even have keys to my house. Our kids will play together, and we will all get together for certain holidays and other times, and I love it. This is always the very best scenario for me. Other individuals I help do not want the children to know anything until they are 18 years old. They want to keep things more private, and this is fine with me. I wish they would tell their kids right away, and I am perfectly fine if they ever change their minds and want their kids to seek me out earlier. A few couples who are male-female couples want to put the husband's name on the birth certificate and just tell the child that he or she is the husband's son or daughter. This is a little different and I suppose deceptive to the kids. However, if this brings such great joy and happiness to the couple, and the kids have wonderful, loving, kind parents, then so be it. I know that couples can break up, and that there's always the possibility that the birth mummy will tell her children that her husband, or perhaps ex-husband, is not their real daddy. I have no control over such things, but I just want everyone to be happy and healthy. I will not donate to sperm banks as they sell sperm in much the same way as international adoption centers sell kids born overseas. I know how much money some couples who went the sperm bank route spent each time they tried, and it was so much. Couples have told me, you know, we were spending so much money on this each time and could only try once every several months. Now that we've found you, we can try each month for far less. Hearing what you had to say on this website has made me think a great deal about the donation process and its effects on the kids born from sperm donation. As far as I know, two mummies or two daddies can raise kids just as well as a mummy and a daddy together can. However, I suppose my situation and the way I help others is different than kids who are conceived through a sperm bank. I suppose it is also different as I am willing to be known at any time to any child that I help conceive. However, questions now loom on my mind. After listening to what has been said on this website, and after doing a bit of other research, I ask myself several things. What would it be like to grow up not knowing my daddy? Is one such question. I would wonder how many siblings I have out there. I do try to help recipients I have helped who want to make things known connect with each other so as to help each child get a better sense of his or her roots and identity. Nevertheless, my heart and sympathy go out to those who will never know who their father was or who their siblings might be. I suppose this debate will continue for some time to come, but I hope that all kids I help through donating are happy, healthy, and may, if they so desire, know that I helped conceive them. I never hide who I am, and I am readily found on Facebook and through a simple Google search. I hope that sperm banks are required to tell kids who their father is, like Great Britain has since done. I commend the discussions this website is promoting, and I hope that it brings about changes which will benefit the kids born from all sperm donations. So that was all four of them. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Anonymous Us podcast. Thanks so much. This is Alana S. with the Anonymous Us podcast.